listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's August 8th, 2012, and we've only gotten a few minutes together, Jason, and we've already said, hey, could you come back and be a part of the Friday edition of Mark and Friends? Because he said, Mark, don't bring that up. We got to finish Jude today. No, we can talk about that maybe on Friday. So we're going to maybe share a little about prayer on Friday. I won't say much more, but we're going to be covering and finishing the book of Jude today. Thank you to those of you that have been a part of this Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends for a number of weeks as we've been talking about the book of Jude, God's inspired scripture. As was mentioned yesterday when we did a tribute to Pastor Cole, God's word is holy, it's inspired, it's foundational and fundamental for all of us to be reading and to be thinking about, pondering and growing through, and just the importance of reading God's word. And it was so encouraging to know that Pastor Cole did that throughout his whole life, and it's a practice that we encourage you to be doing. God will speak to you through the scriptures, and I think today we'll talk about the book of Jude some more and maybe complete it. Another quick little update. A longtime listener to this radio ministry, Donald Longstreth, he was from the Oakwood area. I saw in Sunday's News Gazette that he went to be with the Lord. So he was a faithful giver. He would send us cartoons all the time. He'd do those Far Side cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
And then he would add like a little comment and volunteered a few times. And I just noticed that he went to be with the Lord, getting caught up on some of my reading from the newspaper. But boy, we've lost some really wonderful people, with Pastor Cole this past week and the scout, Kathy Anstein, who used to call anytime we were off the air, whether it was 5 in the morning or 12:30 at night, she would call in, and she's now with the Lord, and then Donald Cole. So thank you, God, that we can have that eternal perspective because of asking the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts. So, well, it's taken a toll on me, that along with watching the Olympics. I told you that with TiVo, you can get like 7 hours worth of the Olympics all taped, and then you fast forward it through the events that you don't want to watch, like some of the synchronized diving or what. I said that the other day. Oh, I don't watch that. Oh, that's my favorite. I'm like, oh, gee. But you can kind of whip through, or when they're doing this boring commentary or something, you fast forward it, or you see a really good shot or you want to watch the ending, you do the rewind three or four times. But I think I can go through like 7 hours of viewing in about an hour and a half, because I zip, 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 fast forward. I just want to see, you know, the 1500, you know, where they do 8 or whatever laps. You just go,
you just go to the end lap.
That's, yeah. Many times, because, you know, it's kind of the same thing. But it is caused me to be up at ungodly hours. I mean, there was one morning.
You have ungodly hours?
Yeah.
I mean, they're all godly hours, aren't they?
I don't know if I was optimizing my time with the Lord during that time, because it was like 4 a.m. I thought, I got to go to sleep because I got to be up in a couple hours. So that took a toll on me. In fact, the other day where I had to nap during the midday to recover. But anyway, it's been kind of fun. And I've been always looking for that individual, that athlete that'll say, you know, praise God. And it seems like this year, of all the Olympics I've seen in the past, there's been fewer people attributing their success or giving God the glory. There's been a few, and a few that have referenced scriptures, but it's like I always hunger for that individual to say, thank you, God, thank you, Jesus. And there's been a dearth of that, if you will. And it's like, oh. And then sometimes you see some of these fantastic athletes, I won't name any names, but it's all about them. It's all about their achievements, their legacy, that they're the best, that they're leaving that mark in the sport. And I'm like, oh, how shallow or hollow or how unfulfilling, because that's just a passing. They'll be forgotten in no time. I don't know. But I've liked to watch the various athletes and these people from all over the world. I'm always intrigued by the variety that God has given us and how he's worked through different people from all over the planet. And I just love seeing the different people from this country, that country. So it's kind of been fun to watch some of that. But yeah, I'm weaning myself off. There was no TV on at all yesterday, and I'm thinking I need to maybe take a fasting break from watching TV. So anyways. Well, let's talk about Jude today. I think we're going to close out Jude. We have at least a good 18 minutes worth.
So this is shocking.
You can almost like do a whole message.
I'm not used to being able to take time. I'm just used to the marathon sprint where you fire the gun and I have to take off as quick as I can. And then, you know, try and get in before I hear, well, is there any news?
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to give us a Creation Museum update?
Oh, yes. I think we're just about full. In fact, in the next day or two, we'll probably be taking names, but it looks like we have about 55 people going. But it's first come, first serve. So though we may have your name down, send in your monies, because those that send in the monies, as I've been saying from the beginning, first come, first serve. So there is a $70 charge. Now, if suddenly we get 10 more calls today, 10 tomorrow, a few more the next day, if we get 30, 40, 50, then I'll go with a second bus. So if you've been thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to go on that trip, but you've not contacted us, now would be the time. Contact us. Let us know that you're interested, and we'll start taking names down towards that second bus. So give us a call at 217-367-7777 for our great Indiana listeners, 1-888-333-9466. At this point, we're going to leave Champaign, pick up in Danville. I think we have a few from Covington, Indiana, so we can do a pickup in Covington, Indiana. Or we may have everyone just meet in Danville. We'll see. I'll call those individuals. But we'll be going to the Creation Museum about a week and a half. It'll be on the 17th. And if you'd like to join us, call it in, because we'll need to know whether we'll start a second bus or just say, hey, we got our 55 people and we're closing it out.
Well, into Jude. Jude chapter 1, as we know, it only has one chapter, 25 verses. But Jude says this in verse 20. It says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait on the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you into eternal glory. This is interesting because you were talking about the Olympics. You know, this begins, it says, but you, dear friends. It's one of those but yous that kind of define the text at the end, the shift between the apostates and now over to you. But you, how are you going to live in this world of heresy and of apostasy and of these things happening, these people who are defecting from the truth, but you. And then, dear friends, because for Jude, those people who are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and in fellowship with God, followers of Jesus, are dear friends. People that you and I don't even know are our dear friends because they're in the fellowship of the Spirit, as John says in 1 John. It says, build yourselves up. And this is interesting because build yourselves up is a connotation of work in progress. It doesn't mean you're finished yet. It doesn't say be built up. It's not a word that says, hey, you know, you're done or you're going to reach a position of being done. It says build yourselves up. It's a continual progress. And I find that fascinating in terms of maybe even what you're saying about the Olympians. I mean, they spend so much time building up, say, their swimming or their running or all that. But imagine what amazing athletes, they could probably eclipse already their phenomenal feats if they would build themselves up in what Jude says here, the most holy faith. Because, I mean, when God is with us, immeasurably more than we know and imagine can happen. So I just wonder, you know, I saw that, who's the guy, the runner, Usain Bolt?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
fastest man in the world.
Yeah, who just takes off, and I go, man, I wonder what would happen if, you know, if he would claim the name of God and he
run
would
for
do,
God's glory?
Yeah, run for God's glory. I mean, I wonder what the gap would have been then, if it would have been even bigger. So I find that fascinating. But he says, build yourselves up. So you're building up, and what are you building up? What's this work in progress? Your holy faith. You know, I look at that great faith chapter in Hebrews 11, and it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. And let's be honest, those of us who have heard that verse, I mean, that's a coffee cup verse, it's on people's walls, it's all over the place. But if we just read that and we had no more context than that, we would be a bit lost, I think. Because now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. So I'm being sure of something that I'm hoping for. That's almost kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? I'm sure of something I'm hoping for, but certain of what I cannot see. And that's crazy. I mean, you have a certainty in something you can't tangibly, physically grab a hold of, touch, or do that. So, I mean, if you had just that, I think you would go, wait a second, that's a little fuzzy. That's hard for me to understand. But it's not fuzzy at all, because God has given us the rest of Hebrews chapter 11, where he goes through the life of Abraham, he goes through the life of Abel, he goes through the life of all these different Isaac and all these different people in the biblical text. He gives us real live people, flesh and blood people, who have all kinds of issues and all kinds of problems and all kinds of things that they ran up against that they have faith in. I mean, just think, go through that list in Hebrews chapter 11. I would challenge some of you, go through it. And circle maybe in your Bible some of the things that are attributes you find in your own self. I mean, because God picks people from all different walks. I mean, in verse 31, it says, by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed. I mean, you have everybody from the father of the faith, Abraham, to the prostitute Rahab, and everybody in between. I mean, and then down and towards the bottom, he says, but I don't even have time to tell you about Gideon and about Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets whose faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions. I love a verse like that. They shut the mouths of lions, because I got some lions in my own life. Quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength. I mean, you could go through Hebrews chapter 11. And you can, I guarantee you, you can find yourself in there and find your own personal struggles that you might be having with your own faith. And so the verse goes on to...
That's my laundry.
That was your laundry.
Hey, the studio's here in the home. I got a load of laundry going. That's actually the dryer. Yep, yep.
I thought that was
multitasking.
I thought that was SRN news.
I might have to go start folding my shirts in a few minutes, so keep going.
Oh. Can somebody pray for me, please? Yeah. But, you know, he says, Jude's saying, look it, build yourselves up in this holy faith. And what is this holy faith? Well, Jude talks about it earlier in verse 3. He says it's a faith that we have to contend for, the faith that was once and for all entrusted to the saints. And the saints, by the way, that's all of you. That's me and Mark and all of you. As we're following Jesus, we have been adopted into and given our inheritance, our sainthood, our priesthood. And it says here, it's a fascinating thing. It says, pray in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love, and wait on the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you into eternal life. Note in that passage there, we have the three persons of God. Jude lays out for us the Trinity. You're going to pray in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Counselor. Jesus had sent him to help us, to guide us, to lead us, to speak to us. And you're praying in God's love, God the author of love, God whose love saved even you and I. I think of Romans 5:8. And Romans 5:8 is one of those verses that just kills me. You know, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, while I was still at my absolute worst, Christ died for me. Most of the time we give something up when somebody's at their absolute best. I mean, we reward the best. We don't reward the worst. Yet God rewards the worst with forgiveness and grace and mercy. It's powerful. So God's love is the thing that can keep you. And then we wait on the mercy of Jesus, who's going to usher us and bring us into eternal life. It's so powerful. Have you ever looked at the future and wondered, what will happen in the next moment? Will everything be okay? Will I be okay? I mean, when you talk about building yourself up in this holy faith and this future eternal glory that Jesus is going to usher you into, yeah, you have faith, but let's be honest, my friend, there is a moment of doubt. There's a moment of like, is it going to be okay tomorrow? I mean, when you come up against something, am I going to be okay? Am I going to make it? I mean, personally, financially, culturally, communally, in my church, am I going to make it? I mean, because let's be honest, doubt is a part of the experience of being human because we have limited sight. We can't see eternally. We can just see now, and we can hope to see into tomorrow, but it's very limited view. And then, therefore, every single one of us lives by faith. That's why we're to build ourselves up in this holy faith, because it's what we have as our faith. And we live by faith. But you know what? If you live by faith, you're probably going to have doubts. You know, Jesus says that you're being built up, you're being worked on. You know, faith isn't knowing everything. Faith is trusting in the one thing. Jesus Christ. You know, I think of this author, Frederick Buechner, who says, the reality, my friends, is that if you want to live a doubt-free life, you'll never make a friend, you'll never get married, you'll never have kids, you'll never take a job, and you certainly will never follow Jesus. And it's powerful. Looking further down verse 22, it says, be merciful to those who doubt. God knows that in your building up of your faith, you'll have moments of doubt. And to be merciful as God has been merciful to us in those moments. And to snatch others from the fire and save them. And we have to understand that snatching them from the fire doesn't mean that moment of like, you know, Billy Graham evangelization. I mean, snatching them from the fire can be meeting that atheist friend of yours or meeting that person who's struggling with Christ every week for a cup of coffee, spending time with them and loving them, subtly snatching them from the fire. You know, I'm thinking about a friend of mine we've been journeying with for a number of years. I would say almost like 4 or 5 years. And he's just on that shaky ground where he's not sure who God is, and he, science and all this other stuff. But a few weeks ago, he started a new business, and he sent me an email. And I know he's in the midst of struggling, in the midst of doubting what it is that he's doing. He sent me an email saying, "Will you pray for me? If there's one person I know who can pray for me, you will pray for me." You know what? I'm subtly snatching him from the fire. And now the light is kind of turned on for him. And we have to make sure that we do that. And then if we go down even a little farther, it says, and one of my favorite verses in the whole entire Bible, Jude 24, "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy." You know, of all the doctrines that we have that make up salvation, of all the amazing things that we have in salvation, I would ask you, which one do you think is the most crucial? Which one do you think is the most important of all the doctrines, all the things that go into salvation? I mean, is it regeneration? Is it justification? Is it sanctification? Is it conversion? Is it adoption? Is it reconciliation? Is it redemption? Is it ransom? I mean, which one of those amazing things do you think it is? I'll tell you this. I asked a lot of people over the last week what they thought it was, and I got all kinds of answers. And only one person gave me the right answer. And the right answer
Jesus.
Is... Yeah, Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus is always the right answer.
When in doubt, you know, in church, if you answer with the name Jesus, you're like 90% right. You're going to get it right. Or connected some way, you can be right. Yeah. But it's the doctrine of eternal security. Because only Jesus can keep you eternally secure. If it was me, let's be honest. If my salvation was up to me, I'd lose it in the next minute, and you'd lose it in the next minute. We all would, because we all have a penitence to sin. We all do that. Eternal security is a biblical promise that once you are saved, you're always saved. You are eternally secure to him who can keep you from falling. And in that, you have all the joy and confidence, assurance, rest, and comfort. If you weren't eternally secure, you wouldn't have those things. You would have fear and anxiety, and you would have worry. You would have all those things. And I just think, man, if it was up to me, I would lose it. I would lose it in the next minute. I think of James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, where James says, you know, "Submit then to God, and the enemy will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you." Submit what? Submit everything. Now, would you submit everything to something that you didn't think was eternally secure? Would you submit something that you, if you had no guarantee of anything? I don't know anybody who would do that. I don't know anyone who would do that. You're asking me, Jason, to say that Jesus is my Lord, my God, my Master, my Savior, my Redeemer, and my King, but he might not keep me? That there isn't any guarantee? Let me tell you what, you wouldn't make that commitment. Jesus eternally keeps you to him who can keep you from falling and to present you. It's Jesus' honor to present you before his glorious presence without fault. You know, if salvation isn't God's work, then I'm not going to get there. If salvation isn't the work of God, if it's my work, I'm not going to get there. And you know what? I'm not good enough to save myself. And I'm not certainly not good enough to keep myself. And if Jesus can't hold on to me, then what hope is there? Jesus has to be our hope. Jesus is the one we put all of our hope into. You know, I'm going to share a story, and it's not my best parenting moment, so maybe you might not let me lead the youth group event anymore. You know, I don't know, but, you know, I went a month and a little over a month ago, took my son camping out of Clinton Lake. I just wanted to spend some time with him. He's 6 years old, you know, just start to really build some father. I think 6-year-old is kind of a pivotal time. We could start to really spend some father and son time together. So we went up there. We set up a tent. We got the primitive campground. We got the wood. We got the whole nine yards. Jiffy pop on the fire pit. But we went out and we took a lot of nature trail walks and talked about Jesus and talked about God. So we're driving. Then we decided we were going to go to the beach. So we're driving to the beach and we're talking about God and we're talking about Jesus and we're talking about the Bible. And we get there and my son says, "You know, my whole body loves Jesus, except for my little finger." And I'm like, "Your little finger doesn't love Jesus?" He's like, "Yeah, my little finger doesn't know Jesus yet." I'm like, "Holy moly." So we get out of the car. This is funny. Like right in front of where you go into the beach at Clinton Lake. And we grab a hold of his finger and we pray over his finger. you know, that his finger would have the faith to accept Jesus. You know? So then we're walking in, and we pay our dollar to get in the beach, and we go inside the little thing to put our swimming suits on. And as we're doing all of this, my son is going, "Hey, Papa, 20%. Hey, Papa, 40%. Hey, Papa, 50%. He's giving me updates percentage-wise as to how much his finger has accepted Jesus. So we get out to the beach, and we lay our towels down, and he goes, "Papa, 100%. My whole body loves Jesus." I'm like, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." The strangest moment ever. Never converted a finger before. I don't like to go swimming. I have a thing with my ears, so the price of admission to get them wet is a week's worth of earache, so it's not fun for me. So I sat down right on the edge of the water, a towel. I had a book, and my son dives in. He loves the water. So he's backstroking and doing all this. So he goes out about maybe 20 feet. And I see him, like, doing a backstroke, and I'm thinking, "Oh, look, he can do a backstroke. I've never seen that before." And he's yelling, "Papa, Papa." And I'm thinking, "Wow, he's showing off. Look at him," you know. And then I get this thing in my heart. I go, "Wait a second. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong." You know, that kind of parenting moment where you go, "Whoa, wait a second." My radar goes, doot, doot. And then so I get up, and I run out to him. And as I'm running to him, I'm getting really close, and all of a sudden I take a step, and I'm up to maybe my waist, and all of a sudden I'm up to my chest, like right top of my chest. So there was a hole kind of in the ground there underwater, and I realize he's drowning. He's drowning. So I go, "Oh," and I grab a hold of him, and I lift him up, and I, you know, his body is full of water, and his belly is distended, and I grab him, and I pick him up, and I got you. And he threw up on me. But I got you, you know, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I almost lost him." So I bring him back to the shore, lay him down on the towel and dry him off, and I'm just making sure he's okay. And, you know, he's a lot upset. And he says to me, he says, "You saved me. You saved me." And then he looks at me and he says, "If my whole body didn't accept Jesus, he might not have told you to come and get me. He might not have told you to come and save me." And you know, my son, he has his faith in Jesus. And he still has a lot of questions and a lot of doubts. He has a lot of questions. But what he does is he has the faith right now to know that his father, me, was watching him all the time. And that his father in heaven was watching over him all the time. And I would just close with that prayer that Jude says, out of Jude. "To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen."
Amen. Thanks for sharing that, Jason. Thanks for dividing the book of Jude for us. We got to go. But thanks for listening, everyone. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.